you know. And I just, you know, as I went through these and I looked at the video and the questions and stuff, I asked myself, you know, what would happen if this person came into our lives, or if we had known her when all the stuff started, would we have been willing to help, and what could we have done to help? I mean, we can make it personal. What can we do to help someone like that that comes our way? Because, you know, it could happen any time, you know. I think, well, like she said, she went into that church, and that kind of struck me, that she went into a church and the pastor goes, well, we're not really equipped to help right now with that. And I wonder if that's not the response of most churches in most neighborhoods today is, well, if you look like us, you dress like us, yeah, we can help you, but if you're really down and out, are we willing to take a step to help out someone that really has a need? I mean, we know we have people that sleep here on the property. They sleep in the stairwell and they sleep over there in that little cutout on the dirt periodically. Hasn't been in a while, but if we came on to somebody like that, would we say, hey, can I fix you a couple eggs for breakfast or something? Yeah, well, they're here. There's a tremendous amount of homeless people that travel back and forth up and down this. Right. Yeah, there are churches that have feeding programs. There's some organization in Compton that was interesting. God, we were working with a church over there a few years ago, and we were doing park ministry, and it turned out that almost every park that we went into, it was like a cycle. This group was coming there, and I don't know if it was a government agency, I don't remember, or if it was a church group that was coming in and feeding everybody that was in the park. And I know one of them was a school-type program that was feeding the kids in the park, but they seemed to have enough food to help the adults. And the next question says, what goes through your mind when you remember that single woman with young children are the fastest growing segment of our population to be homeless? And what do you believe will be the long-term effects on people who were homeless as children? Starting a cycle. Yeah. You know, and you're right, I don't think the government has helped a whole lot by perpetuating that cycle that will give you a handout. That, this next question says, what upsets you about Clayton's story, and with whom should you be upset? The guy that went to Vietnam in the army. Who? Well, actually, they do. You just have to go through the cycle of filling out all the forms right, and it's just like being in the middle. Because Curtis, before they went to Atascadero, he worked for Veterans Administration in Phoenix, and they're helping more than what we think they would. But you have to be, you know, it's like anything that we do, you have to fill out this form, and you have to do this, and then you have to do this. But I think it's a shame that, you know, a guy gets trained as a mechanic, but because he doesn't have the certification, nobody wants to hire him. And then he's a cripple. I'm sorry, he can't do anything, you know. And that's how the world sees guys. We have a nephew that was wounded in, I don't know if it was Iraq or Afghanistan, but you know what, he's got the scars. You can look at him and see the scars from the shrapnel that he took, but he pulled himself up, and I don't know how he's doing. Really, he's having some struggles in his marriage right now, but he became a police officer. He applied, he did all the stuff that was required of him, and now he's a police officer. But, you know, I know it's probably not easy. And that's right. Yeah, they're saying that the guys that are coming home from Iraq and Afghanistan, and the things that they're seeing now are just so much more horrible than what we would have seen in any of the other wars, just because of the close combat quarters and the things that they're doing. So a lot of them are coming home with some mental. I think it's the highest of any war that we've had. Have you ever encountered anybody on the street who could be Clayton? And if you saw that person tomorrow, what would you say to him now that you've seen Clayton's story? If you ran into a guy who his sign said, "I'm a vet, I'm a homeless vet, can you help? God bless you." After seeing this guy's story, how would we respond? See, that's the point right there. Is I think that to impact any life, it requires an investment on our part in time, and it could require financial investment. I mean, working with students, working with elderly people, working with anyone requires an investment of time. And as we get busier in our society, and there's actually part of one of the chapters, the first chapter that we didn't cover, about how we're disconnected. And I look at the generation of children that are coming up today. Let me see if I can find it real quick in here. I was going to go back and cover this at another point, but what's he say here? Well, just a little bit of this. Additionally, you can earn a bachelor's degree at your desk in your den, go run on your treadmill in the basement, play tennis in front of your 50-inch plasma in the family room, and listen to religious services via a podcast anywhere in your house. And this is why so many people these days don't even know who many of their neighbors are, let alone know them on a deeper level. And I know Bob Litt, pastor down in Encinitas, told us years ago, he said, the hardest thing to do is reach the community right around that church. Because people drive out, go to work, they drive in, as they're driving up to the driveway, they hit a button, the gate opens, they drive through the gate, they hit that button, the gate closes, they hit another button, the garage door opens, they go in the garage, the door closes, and they don't come out of their house the rest of the night. And so it's really hard to connect with the neighbors because you can't get to them. But I look at students today, they're into their iPods, iPhones, I this and I that, and they don't even look at you when they're walking down the road. They're so busy doing other things. With Jesus being fully man and fully God, do you think that he was able to amplify agony and grief in any way we cannot? And if so, how would that have made life his final hours on the cross if he was not dying for the singular sins of the world, but for the infinite compounded sins of every individual who ever lived? Yeah, he says, with Jesus being fully man and fully God, do you think he was able to amplify agony and grief in any way we cannot? I think because he was fully God, you know, was the pain, could he make the pain more severe for him? For himself, yeah. Yeah, it wouldn't affect us, but I don't think that because he was God, he turned up the pain volume for us. I think he, you know, because he was fully man also, his pain would be the same as ours, other than the fact that he knew what he was doing. He was taking our sins. It says, if so, how would he have made his final hour on the cross if he was not dying for us? Singular sins of the world, but for infinitely compounded sins of every individual who ever lived. Yeah, I think we'll have to I'll have to photocopy this for those who don't have a book, and we'll have to look at that. It's a difficult question, yeah. I think the pain and agony that he suffered, he knew what he was going to the cross for. He knew what he came here for. That's right. Any other comments on this part tonight?
There's a lot of people who are so young,
Yeah, and I think with her, she chose to reject God. I think what's the big thing in her life is that she didn't want anything to do, she didn't want anything to do with her parents because they were Christians, but she also didn't want anything to do with God, which really translated into her parents' lives. And I think if we look at our lives, you know, most of us had our parents, but we also had somebody that was a godly influence in our life that helped to point us and helped to shape us. And, well, yeah, Dad wasn't saved till I was 14 or 15, so yeah, I understand that, but... Other comments? Let's pray. And doesn't mean you have to run away. And Father, thank you for another good evening of looking at our invisible neighbors. Father, we know that we have visible neighbors, but then there's also the ones that we tend to not see or we tend to overlook. And Father, I just pray that you will just help us to be more sensitive to the needs of our neighbors, whether visible or invisible, and Father, that when there is a need, that we might be the one that will step up and take our rightful place as your children in helping them. And Father, you've called us to care for one another, and Father, I just pray that you will just help us to see that need in our lives, and I just pray this in your most precious name. Amen.